Please stand as you are able, turning to face the cross. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. The Gospel according to St. Matthew. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." We remember how men and women, boys and girls, welcomed Jesus to the city of Jerusalem so long ago. And like them, our hearts are filled with hope and expectation. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord, for your great gift of love and for your Son, Jesus Christ, who is acclaimed Son of David and King of Kings by those who scattered their garments and branches of palms in his path. Bless these branches and those who bear them. Grant that we may ever hail Jesus as our Lord and King and follow him with perfect confidence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. wayside was thick with flowers, and the palm trees green with their heavy branches. Some of the crowd ran ahead and tore down the branches and carried them in triumph. Some spread them with their cloaks on the path as they would have done for a king. As the procession moved forward, they shouted in excitement and joy, "Praise to David's son. God bless him who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise be to God." Jesus' disciples must have been overwhelmed by the crowd's response. They had lived with Jesus for 3 years. They were there when he preached to thousands in a fishing boat, when he fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. They were there when he raised the girl from Nain to new life. They were there when he confronted the Gerasene demoniac, when he gave the man born sight to the man born blind, when he healed the bent over woman, when the paralyzed man was lowered through the roof of a house, when Jesus stood at Lazarus' tomb and said the words that rocked the community, "Lazarus, come forth," and they saw the man do just that.
It was hard to imagine that the Messiah had come, but in Jesus they experienced all that the Messiah was said to be. They called him Lord, Rabbi, and Friend. They knew that he was a gift from God, proclaimed by the angels to be Emmanuel, God with us. They knew too that many were afraid, King Herod, Caiaphas, the Pharisees and Sadducees, afraid of his growing influence and popularity. But none of that mattered as Jesus rode into Jerusalem that day, that first Palm Sunday, when Jesus was hailed as king. He entered the holy city in triumph, surrounded by those who loved him. Finally, they thought, God's kingdom has come. They stood and cheered, "Hosanna to the king, rejoice and sing." Excitement filled the air, smiles and cheers, happy hearts, rejoicing unlike anything Jerusalem had seen in years.
As Jesus rode into the city, those nearest to him noticed that his face was sad. There was a little sign that here was an all-conquering, powerful, popular hero coming to lead his people in rebellion against Rome. Jesus had tried so hard to make them understand that there was nothing of earthly power about the kingdom he preached. They had already forgotten his warnings about what was going to happen this week. Very soon, their dreams would be shattered. Soon, they reached a bend in the road, and they could see the glorious city in the sunshine. No Jew could see Jerusalem unmoved. And then the crowds came into focus, joining the chorus of his followers. Praise to David's son, Hosanna in the highest.
Some of his followers realized the significance of his deliberate choice of a donkey on which to ride. But many had obviously forgotten that this humble beast suggested peace rather than the sword. Jesus was the only one in this noisy, excited crowd who knew that the truth was utterly different from their own materialistic ideas. The truth meant they would have to die on a cross to save the world from its sins.
On the first day of unleavened bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, "Where will you have us go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him, and wherever he enters, say to the householder, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room where I am to eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room, furnished and ready. There, prepare for us." The disciples set out and went to the city and found it as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover.
When it was evening, Jesus and his disciples were at the Passover table eating, and Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They began to be sorrowful and to say to him one after another, "Is it I?" Jesus said to them, "It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the dish with me." As they were eating, Jesus took bread, he blessed and broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "This is my blood poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I shall not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God."
Behold the Lamb who bears our sins away, slain for us. And we remember the promise made that all who came in faith find forgiveness at the cross. So we share bread of life, and we drink of his sacrifice as a sign of our bonds of love around the that heal the death that brings us life, paid the price to make us one. The blood that cleanses every stain of sin shed for you. Drink and remember, he drained this cup that all may enter in to receive the life of God. So we share in this bread of life, and we drink of his sacrifice as a sign of our bonds of love around the table of the King. And so with thankfulness and faith we rise to respond and to remember our call to follow in the steps of Christ as his body here on earth. As we share in his suffering, we proclaim Christ will come again and will join in the feast of heaven around the table of the King. Around the table of the
After the Passover meal, Jesus and his disciples went to the Mount of Olives, and Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "I will never leave you." And Jesus said, "Truly, I say to you, this very night, before the cock crows twice, you will deny knowing me three times." But Peter vehemently said, "Even if I must die with you, I will never deny knowing you." And all the disciples said the same.
Then Jesus and his disciples went to the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus asked them to stay outside the gate so that he might pray alone. "Remain here and watch," he asked. "My soul is sorrowful, even unto death." His voice sounded harsh and anxious. He went into the garden alone and fell to the ground, crying out, "Abba, Father." His breathing quickened. He could hardly control his next words, crying out, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. You can take this cup from me. You can make this hour pass away from me." Then there was silence until he uttered the last part of his prayer. "Nevertheless, not my will, Father, let yours be done." He lay a while in perfect quietness, weak, empty, and exhausted. Finally, Jesus rose up. His legs trembled under the natural weight of standing, but he was able to make his way back to James and Simon and John. When he came to them, his heart sank into deeper and deeper loneliness. their bodies laid like sacks at the base of the trees. They were sleeping. He roused Simon and said, "Couldn't you watch even 1 hour with me? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is so weak." Then Jesus saw a small firelight below him at the foot of the Mount of Olives. So he bent down to his disciples, shook them awake, and said, "Get up and look. The hour has come. My betrayer is at hand."
Suddenly, Judas appeared, and with him a company of guards with smoking torches, swords, and clubs, together with the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Judas had told them,
"The one I shall kiss is the man. Seize him and take him away."
Judas spied Jesus and came closer to his teacher, so close that Jesus could see the pores in his flesh. Looking into his eyes, he said,
"Master."
And Judas kissed him. Then the guards, they grabbed Jesus and seized him. But one of those who stood by drew his sword and struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his ear. There was chaos until Jesus yelled out, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to capture me like a robber? Day after day I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me then." But he said, walking to them, "This is your hour, the hour of darkness. Let the scriptures be fulfilled." As if his words were their command, the soldiers also moved forward. In torchlight, they began to bind Jesus' arms. One of the disciples yelled out in fear. This was proving to be a very large contingent of soldiers. The more they filled the area around Jesus, the more the disciples shrank backward. Jesus watched as terror overtook them, and they fled. Some crept away, some dodged, some raced away, but they all scattered, all of them, till no one was left, and Jesus was completely alone.
They led Jesus to the high priest, and all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes were assembled. Peter had followed at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. He was sitting with the guards and warming himself at the fire while the council sought testimony against Jesus to put him to death. But they found none. Many bore false witness against him, but their witness did not agree. Some stood saying,
"We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another, not made with hands.'"
The high priest stood in the midst and asked Jesus, "Have you no answer to make?" But Jesus was silent and made no answer. Again, the high priest asked him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Most High?" And Jesus said, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power, coming with the clouds of heaven." And the high priest tore his garments and yelled out, "Why do we still need witnesses? We have heard his blasphemy. What is your decision?" And there was a chorus of unity. "Death," they proclaimed. Suddenly, men surged toward Jesus, spitting in his face and hitting him in the head. The guards covered his eyes and led him away.
Thank you.
Peter was below in the courtyard. One of the maids of the high priest came, and seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said,
"You also were with that Nazarene Jesus."
"I don't even know what you're talking about."
"You were with him. I saw you. This man is one of them.
"No, you're wrong. I don't know this man. You don't know what you're talking about, girl." "You are one of them. You're a Galilean like the others. You know that man, Jesus." "You're insane. I've never seen you before in my whole life. I don't even know who you're talking about. Leave me alone."
In the distance, one could hear a rooster crow. And suddenly, Peter remembered what Jesus had said to him, that before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times. And he broke down and wept.
As soon as it was morning, the chief priest with the elders and scribes and the whole council held a consultation. And they bound Jesus and led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor. And Pilate asked him, "Are you king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "You have said so." The chief priest began to accuse him of many things. And Pilate asked again, "Have you no answer to make?" But Jesus made no further answer. Now, at the feast, Pilate used to release for them one prisoner for whom they asked. Among the rebels in prison was a murderer, Barabbas. The chief priest stirred up the crowd to have Pilate release for them Barabbas rather than Jesus. But Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with the man whom you call the King of the Jews?" And they cried out again,
"Crucify
him!"
And Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more,
"Crucify him! Crucify him!"
So Pilate, hoping to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas and delivered Jesus to be crucified.
The soldiers led Jesus away, calling together the whole battalion. They clothed him in a purple cloak and placed upon his head a crown of thorns. They laughed and they began to salute him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They struck his head with a reed, they spat upon him, and they knelt down in homage to him. Then they stripped him of the purple cloak, they put his own clothes on him, and they thrust upon his shoulders a heavy wooden beam and forced him to walk up the center of the street to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of a skull. There they offered him wine mingled with myrrh, but he did not take it, and they crucified him there, hanging him upon a cross of execution. It was the third hour when they crucified him. An inscription was placed above his head that read, "The King of the Jews." With him, they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him. They wagged their heads, saying, "Ha, you would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days. Then save yourself and come down from the cross." The chief priests also mocked him, saying, "He saved others. He cannot even save himself." Those who were crucified with him also reviled him.
When the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus then uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. When the Roman centurion who stood facing him saw that Jesus had breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God.
When evening had come, since it was the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a Pharisee and a respected member of the council, took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate summoned the centurion and asked him whether Jesus was already dead. When he had learned that Jesus was dead, Pilate granted the body to Joseph. Joseph had brought him with him a beautiful linen shroud. He carefully took Jesus' body down from the cross and lay his Lord upon the white shroud and wound the linen around him. He then carried Jesus to a tomb which had been hewn out of rock, and he rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. Silently, he went home.
Oh,
Please stand as you are able for the prayers. Let us pray for the church, the world, and all in need. Gracious God, most holy and humble, plant in your church Christ's spirit of humility. Remove any barriers preventing us from seeing his saving work on the cross. Lord, in your mercy. Creator God, you reveal your will for all creation through stones, seas, mountains, and meadows. In the splendor of what you have made, show us your care for everything, both great and small. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Merciful Lord, rescue those who suffer torture and free those held captive by others. Bring to light the hidden systems that perpetuate injustice among your people. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Holy Lord, pour courage and hope into your people who feel like they are wasting away in distress and grief, especially those we name on our lips or in our hearts. Restore their trust in you, even as you meet their every need. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Gentle Christ, open your heart and mind, open our hearts and minds to receive the words that you speak. Give us words to encourage the weary and to sustain one another in word and deed. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Eternal Lord, gather your saints into the new covenant that Christ has established for all creation. Where we fall into sin, continually renew us until Christ dwells with us again in fullness. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Into your hands we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Lamb of God, Lamb of God.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.